matched up in a lot of man coverage all day.
Look at that direction. Here comes pressure again. Two Browns ran into each other. Daniels uncorks a deep shot. It's McLaurin inside the five.
Grant and Danny on a victory Monday. No game was played on Sunday, but it's still a victory Monday. It's over, people. Terry McLaurin, an extension, 3 years and $96 million in new money. Those are the figures that we have at this point that come out from the agent side. You know, we'll see. We'll see what the actual money ends up being. But so far, $32 million per in new money, right around $30 million over his 4 years. I think the expectation was that it was going to have to be in the 28 to 30 range. And at the high end of that, in terms of AAV is where we are, until we find out what the guaranteed money is. But I know a lot of you guys don't care about the semantics or specifics financially. Terry was at odds with the team. That wasn't good for anybody. That is over today. And probably as of tomorrow morning, there's going to be some type of mea culpa from each side where they come out and say, some of those things I said I didn't completely mean. Although I guess the Commanders don't really have to do that at all.
I mean, who knows what they said behind closed doors, what they have to apologize for, if anything. But yeah, they didn't have a press conference at Eastern Motors where your job's your credit, right? They didn't have any kind of public signings after practice or, you know, any sort of episode where they're letting people know their displeasure.
And to McLaurin's credit, he was careful. He never said anything damaging about his relationship with the team or anti-Adam Peters.
No, agree.
And we saw him hugging Josh Harris and dapping up ownership. And we saw him, you know, greeting and hugging the quarterback's mom. Like, he's been as advertised, as expected, very classy while no showing and not doing anything. And kind of making it miserable for everybody involved until he got paid, which is the only leverage he has, in fairness.
Indeed.
So
yeah.
If you have a problem with that, you have a player with an issue with the player doing what they can to get paid. And he just did it for longer than you were comfortable, basically.
I think that's very well said. Yeah. I mean, the CBA doesn't lend itself to guys winning these face-offs. It just doesn't. Because as we've talked about ad nauseum, if you go into the regular season and start missing games and missing game checks, and it gets worse, and then your career gets derailed, et cetera, there's no good way to do it. And maybe that's something they want to address the next time the CBA comes around. But put that aside for a second. You don't have to worry about those doomsday scenarios. I was wrong. I thought he would miss week number one just to show everybody how upset he was with the team, et cetera. I mean, the question now is, what damage was done? I think you're naive if you say zero. And I think you're probably overreacting if you say 100. Like, he won't be able to catch a ball this year. No, not that anyone's thinking that. But you know what I mean? Like, there's something here, and we'll get to the bottom of what that is.
So let's go 1 to 10. I think it's easier to quantify these things sometimes with a scale. Mm-hmm. So let's go 1 to 10. Level of damage done by not participating all offseason and allowing this to go as long as it did. Whether that's McLaurin or the team, doesn't really matter who we're blaming, how we got here. You can call us. There's a line open at 800-636-1067. 10 means either he set himself up to be injured immediately and or he's going to have a terrible season because he's chasing his tail, and until week 5 or week 6, he's not going to resemble Terry McLaurin. One is he's about to go for 127 catches, 1,600 yards, and 19 touchdowns, and he's Ja'Marr Chase all of a sudden. You know, I'm going to say that this is a 3.5. I think what we're going to see noticeably and tangibly is a lower snap count in the first couple of games until probably the third, maybe the fourth week. Certainly in the first two over the first 10 days. And because of that, maybe a lesser production. Now, if his target share is higher because they're just getting banged for his buck, he's out there for 26 snaps, but he gets 6-7 targets in that time, he could still go 4-70 in a touchdown and really help the team. But I'm going to say it's a 3.5 or so, and that they have to put him on a pitch count, which would not have been the case if he was here all offseason. Your number one receiver not being on the field is not ideal, obviously. So it's noticeable. It needs to be measured with a number for me.
Yeah, 4.5 is my number for all the same reasons. Plus, the reason it's higher for me is the injury risk. And even if he's on a pitch count, there's no substitute for those, you know, game time, high intensity. I've got to have one extra, millisecond of speed or burst of speed to get past this guy, et cetera. And that's where I'm terrified of soft tissue stuff.